Hey, what's up? It's the mayor of Slamtown, Johnny Impact, Johnny Mundo, Johnny Nitro, Johnny Gimmick Name, probably the guy with the most John-based ring names in the history of wrestling. I got a lot of names, but there is only one ringside podcast, and that is what you are listening to.
You're listening to the Ringside Podcast.
Sitting at ringside.
The show that brings you all that is pro wrestling, news, interviews, and opinions.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
With Daniel Spencer.
The most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
Jeremy Wallman.
I'm the best in the world at what I do.
And Justin Kruger.
Your arms are just too short to box with God.
And now, let's ring the bell and start the show.
Welcome to the Ringside Podcast. I'm Daniel Spencer.
Whoa. We're not calling it the Ringside Podcast. We're calling it the Ringside Experience.
Oh, gosh.
No, we're not. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. And please go ahead and just mute his mic.
Well, what a start to this show, everybody.
I'm Jeremy Wallman.
I'm JK. It was nice knowing you all. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm Daniel Spencer. And then we got a special guest today. He's been on the show a couple times before and haven't had him in a while. So, Steve Rummage, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. It's nice to be on here now. Before we were just friends. Now I'm in the presence of greatness because Daniel Spencer. This first time I've been able to be on since you were actually a referee.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know about greatness, but I appreciate the compliment.
No, you're good. You're good at what you
look
do.
Look at Jeremy trying to show his his ticket taker license in Kentucky.
Ticket taker license.
Which, by the way, what we talked about earlier, you'll need one of those. But we'll discuss that later.
Perfect.
It's not a ticket taker license. Perfect. It's an official license.
But anyways, guys. It's been a while. Last episode, we had Tony Gunn on. We did do a pre-WrestleMania prediction show, but audio issues happened, and I was able to fix them, but not enough time to get the show to air before I left to New York for WrestleMania weekend, and I couldn't take all that equipment with me to edit it or upload it. So we just kind of been on a hiatus for a couple weeks, I guess.
That's okay. Everybody needs a little time away from y'all, too.
Yeah. So this is it's all good though. We're gonna do post-Mania, and that's why we brought in Rummage to talk about it because he's kind of been on our Mania show every year. It's only right. It feels good.
Yeah, it feels good to be back.
It's like I told Daniel before, if we're not gonna have Steve on the show, just scrap it. He's like, no, it's recorded anyway. I've got a girlfriend now.
Whatever.
So,
how was New York, man?
New York was great, man. New York was great. It was a good time. Busy. And New York is crazy. I do not recommend WrestleMania ever go to New York. Hopefully it's another 10 years, 7 years, whatever, before it's ever back, because I do not want to experience that again.
You know what's odd about that is I will say, just for me personally, I do think I tried to tweet this, but I spelt it wrong, which was part of the course a lot of times. Soccer. But I thought aesthetically, I think MetLife is one of the best as far as to watch on TV.
Yeah,
I think I don't know what it is about MetLife. Maybe it's the height of it whatever. But it looks aesthetically like one of the better views from TV.
Yeah, you know probably so because you're outside. It is set up. I do like the setup because where we were sitting in the lower level riser areas, like you had your own like special. Like when you walk to the restroom and you had your own like indoor concession and stuff, it was really cool.
That's
it was like you walked down and then up and out, but then you had I don't know how to explain. It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
You just gotta be there. But it was neat. It was a good. It's much better than that whatever stadium they had last year. What is that called?
Superdome.
The Superdome.
Silver Super.
Because that place was like walking. I mean, you were squeezed like you're inside of a can of biscuits or something. And you just couldn't move around. It was so small. The place is so big, but the foyer area or concourse, whatever you want to call it, it's just super little. Even, and I said this last year, even the Smoothie King Center, was bigger. The foyer concourse was bigger than the football stadium. And they're like, what?
That That's is weird. True. That
yeah.
is true.
Have you been there before?
I've been in both. Yeah, yeah. It's that, weird. That's 100% true.
Weird. So I don't.
You
get
look
it.
Like you had pretty good seats, which leads me to my first question.
Yeah.
Who did you have to blow to get those seats?
But what are you talking? This is a
family show.
This is a family show. It's PG-13.
I will say this.
It's weird. I get a little edgy one time. This dude just like tweaks off the GDMF. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, I will say
And then you use just inappropriate all the time. I say blow once. I could have been talking about cocaine.
There is a new rule in radio or podcasting as of April 1st. This show is airing after April 1st, so we got to be careful on the language nowadays. Even though we're still explicit and we can still let things slip, we can't go on the rants like we've done before.
Just answer the question.
No, I did. I don't. That's a stupid question. I'm sorry. Nobody. Retract.
Who did you have to mouth massage?
No, get those seats? That's false information.
Okay,
fake news. I did not do. I got the tickets. They were available. I purchased them like normal people would do.
Okay, yeah. I just was making sure. All right. Since your all your friends now are OVW guys, I just didn't know.
OVW guys or whatever.
Oh, I'm sorry, or Impact. I apologize. Yeah. I didn't mean to leave out. Shout out
to, while we're talking about WrestleMania, shout out to Impact Wrestling. Has some awesome shows in the last couple of weeks that I was able to be a part of too as well. And so is other OVW talent. So it's been pretty cool. So excited for the future of OVW and Impact Wrestling, which let's talk real quick about the future of OVW because
we are the official podcast
of Ohio Valley Wrestling. Yeah.
We got to talk a minute when we go to the TV, to the video version of this show, if that ever happens.
It's going
to
happen.
We need to get Steve on with us.
I'm the best looking dude out of all of us. Well, so that would definitely be an option.
He may not be wrong, actually.
No. Yeah. So Daniel's close. Yeah. But I mean, Daniel looks better than you.
I have bought you lunch before.
I know. I'm just.
What a douche.
If I put him on the OVW network, then he's going to put me over. That's what it is.
Hey, I'm not going to speak up on my own vanity, so I'll take you two at your word.
You're easily fourth. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm honored.
So, but anyways, the OVW made a huge – well, Al Snow did, and the Al Snow Wrestling Academy and Gladiator Sports Network made a huge announcement at WrestleCon, and it was great for Ringside to be a part of, is that the first ever Pro Wrestling Combine is going to happen on June 1st. Think about it. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, all professional sports do it except for wrestling. It's the first ever combine. This is going to be amazing.
I thought it was really cool. And what I really enjoyed watching the most that week, I was, on vacation, was the response from the older OVW people.
Yes.
Crime Time was one of them. I really, just to see them back and the passion that they had about what was going on.
Yeah.
There were a couple, you can refresh my memory. I've been on vacations.
It was Crime Time. It was,
you were there.
Spirit Squad, Billy Gunn, even who's helped out with OVW, not really an OVW alum. A lot of people behind the scenes too that talked a little bit about it as well. We couldn't get on video, but Boogeyman, John Morrison, people like that too. So it was pretty cool. Gail Kim, Victoria, aka Tara on TNA. Yeah, so it was pretty cool to hear their responses too as well. But I mean, the combine is going to be amazing. It's on June 1st. It's going to happen right here in Louisville, Kentucky. And I'm at the Performance Center, the PFR. Look it up. It's all on the website. I don't have the address for me right away. I think it's 12101 Sycamore Place. I might have it. Look at that. I haven't memorized. It's going to be amazing. And there's a big show that night, but the top 15 people will get drafted, men or women. Doesn't matter. It could be all 15 women, all 15 men, split and evenly, whatever. But top 15 people will get drafted into the OVW Al Snow Wrestling Academy school, which is now a traded school. So you'll get a degree in pro wrestling, a two-year degree in pro wrestling, not only in the ring, but outside the ring in producing and editing and losing production, learning production and all that. So it's big time. I mean, this is huge news coming out in the last month for OVW and Gladiator Sports Network.
Yeah, and it's unlike no other. I mean, you can't go to school to become a professional basketball player. I mean, well, you can, but there's no courses in it.
Right.
Professional football. I mean, this is really – I've said this time and time again. If you look at the Twitter feed, Al Snow has come in, and not that it was in a bad shape, but he has taken what was OVW and and taking it to the next level. He has lit a fire. He is one of the most innovative owners in the game today. And he just says he keeps doing new thing after new thing after new thing. And I'm really excited. I mean, me and you know a little bit, or we all know a little bit about what's next, but I can't wait for what we don't know about to find out about it. I mean, you know it's going to be a home run because Al, that's all he's been doing is hitting him out of the park.
Well, and the OV, and they, before that was announced, that we kind of teased it. Like, oh, the OVW Network, go to OVWWrestlingNetwork.com. Only $4.99. You get all OVW content, even current and a little bit in the past. More and more stuff will be added, and more things as wrestling content will come up, including a possible Ringside Podcast Edition, a video version, which is why we'll need Rummage, because we, you know, we don't look that great for TV. Rummage does. Rummage is not, does not have a face for radio, but he's on radio. I don't get
that, that's funny how it works out. I do want to add too with what you guys are saying, from you guys have been able to be so inside with all this, mm-hmm. and from a wrestling fan outside of all this, it's been really cool to watch, because the tradition, the wrestling tradition that Louisville has, may be the most underrated in the country.
Yeah.
And
the only one that can beat us or come close is Memphis. But
yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think that's fair. I think that's fair as far as regions that have kind of fell back a little bit as far as people. And I don't want to say fell back, but as far as from a national standpoint. Mm-hmm. But watching kind of what Al Snow and the guys have done with OVW has caught a lot of attention. And I think mm-hmm. it's caught a lot of attention outside of more than just the city. And it's cool to kind of see that being brought back.
Yeah, absolutely. It's making the eyes are on OVW again, as they were years ago. And you will see future superstars, whether it's being signed with Impact or whether it's being signed with WB. I believe I wouldn't be surprised if we won't hear soon, very, very soon, of some kind of Impact developmental deal with some of the OVW wrestlers being signed. Wouldn't shock me a bit if one or two is announced very soon. Anyways, we got all the news out there, and this is
Cryptic, you know, Daniel there. Vintage Cryptic Daniel.
Got all the news out there, and got all the stuff we want to talk about to play catch up. We'll have another show later, kind of break down. Maybe we'll have a couple of the guys from Gladiator Sports Network to kind of go in more details of the school and things like that in the future. But in the meantime, in the between time, let's talk about the biggest show that everybody cares about. If you're a wrestling fan, no matter what organization you're from, your eyes are on it. WrestleMania, and a little bit a couple weeks after, including the superstar shakeup we just experienced.
A shakeup at that.
Yeah. We'll get to that.
But let's talk about prominent.
Let's talk about Mania, okay? Let's talk about Mania. Let's kind of go through. We don't have to go through every single match because there was like 45.
Right.
But let's definitely go through the overall show, kind of rate it, and we'll pick apart a little here or there, just a little bit, and kind of see your thoughts. So why don't we start with our guest, Rummage? What was your opinion of WrestleMania?
I thought overall it was a solid show. I don't know that I would say it was. I don't know why I always go with top three or so. Almost like, I mean, it feels like, you know, if it's not top three, it's a failure. Well, I mean, that's not the case, but I don't know that it was one of the best ones I've ever watched. I will say this. I found myself going into it with lower expectations than usual. Yeah. And maybe that, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong. That's me. But I will say that overall, man, I mean, I thought that they did. The best way I can put it is I think all the winners were perfect, almost. I thought the match qualities were pretty good. Mm-hmm. I think some of the matches could have been better.
Okay.
But overall, I mean, I think WWE went in the right direction. You usually, you know, a lot of times you'll have one or two matches where, especially as a fan or something, you're like, oh, I'm just so angry about this now. You know, like, oh, this was terrible. Right. I didn't feel that way watching that. I thought pretty much every winner was right. I thought some of them, though, I thought the Finn-Lashley match, for instance, kind of got thrown. I know we're not going in detail yet, but kind of got thrown in, and a couple others were kind of thrown in. But overall, I mean, I was entertained. If you can keep me entertained for 7 hours,
right.
you've put on a pretty good show.
That was going to be my question for everybody. So I'll start with you on that. Yeah. So when it comes to over on watching on TV,
yeah,
were you captive and kept kept into the show the entire 7 hours.
I was. And I thought that a lot of that had to do with just the layout of the show. I thought the call of having Seth and Brock first for me was good.
Yeah.
I thought because that kind of, I don't know, it made different points in the show where it didn't feel like, okay, let's get a spread of, I don't care about these three. And now it kind of kept everything throughout, and it did enough to keep you intrigued.
Cool. Jeremy, we'll just go around the table here.
Okay. Well, I definitely agree with that. It evened out the show a lot. For me, I'll say that I was kept interested about 90% of the time. About the last hour, I was falling asleep, in and out of sleep. I had just got home from vacation the night before about midnight, and then I got up Sunday morning and watched NXT TakeOver, the Hall of Fame, and went right into WrestleMania. So I was going strong 12 hours of coverage. So, but I was interested. I felt like a lot of the matches ended the way they should have.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like the way that Miz and Shane did, but I understood it afterwards. You know, okay, that's how that one has to end. But
we didn't like the way it ended because you wanted Miz to win.
Yes.
Okay.
I wanted him to win, and I felt like that. I mean, yeah. That's why. And I will also bring this point up. It may not have been one of the top three WrestleManias of all time, but it was definitely one of the top three in the last 10 years. It was in recent memory. It was one of the better ones in recent memory, I'll say.
Okay. All right. And then the watching on TV situation, did that keep you? I mean, was it okay? Was you?
Yeah. But they do such an awesome job of production.
As far as like, you didn't feel like, oh, I'm ready to turn this off. Like, I want to see in. Like, you didn't feel that way at all?
No. Okay. No, but I'm a wrestling junkie. You could put it on 24 hours a day and I watch it.
Gotcha. JK?
I think Rummage hit a lot of the points I mostly agree with. There wasn't really any clunkers of a match necessarily. Everybody got their time. Everybody got their stuff in. Mm-hmm. And even with the results, you know, not a whole lot of stinkers. And even if I disagreed at, like, you know, I wanted Miz to beat Shane McMahon, but the ending justifies the reasoning for it. And
right.
Based on what happened to Superstar Shakeup, that will probably extend. But I digress on that. As far as the fatigue goes, you know, I feel like I started to not necessarily lose interest, but just get fatigued around like the Reigns McIntyre match, because, you know, I watched it from the very beginning of the pre-show all the way till 12:30. Was that when it ended? Mm-hmm. Or so?
Yeah, 12:25.
Yeah, I felt like I was more fatigued watching that, basically like a marathon of wrestling, than I would if I was actually running in the Boston Marathon on Monday.
Mm. I'll add this real quick. If I hadn't just watched 5 hours of wrestling before the pre-show, I may have been interested in the entire night.
Gotcha.
So,
you know, me being there, so my perception is a little bit different.
Right. I knew we were going to get to this.
Don't roll your eyes.
I was there, so let me tell you my viewpoint. It's better than y'all's.
No, it's not. What I'm stating is it's a different viewpoint because I was there live.
Right.
So the layout, as Rummage was saying, was perfect because you didn't feel I take this back. There was one match that literally was like, all right, I'm tired. Let's go on to the next match. And that was Triple H and Batista. That match was the sleeper match.
It was slow. Yeah.
It was slow. And it was just being there. It was like, okay. But I was entertained in it because mm-hmm. they did do good storytelling and whatnot, and Ric Flair coming out in whole nine yards. But as far as the overall, what you were saying, the production of it, the show, the layout, everything, it was a great WrestleMania. It's hard to say. You're saying top three? I don't know, but it was definitely up there. You said top three maybe the last 10 years?
Yeah, maybe. The last 10, 15 years.
It's a possibility. It could make that, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. This is our third WrestleMania, right, after our third show?
Yeah, right.
So the past two, we've been like, well, it was okay, but it wasn't great. So
I don't know. I think we all love New Orleans. Last year's 30, I think we all kind of liked it, except for the ending.
Yeah, and then
we didn't like Roman or Brock winning.
Yeah, but there were a couple of clunkers last year too. So I mean, out of the last 15 years, I would say this easily for me makes top three.
And I will say this: Seth Rollins does need me to show up at WrestleMania because every time he does, he wins the title. Just 2 years in a row, but I'm just saying.
Fair point.
Well, thank God Asuka didn't wrestle. Oh, she did. And she every time she loses.
Well, somebody loses her. Yeah, it is true. Every time she goes, she loses the match. Oh, you know, but poor Asuka. I think she's got, we'll talk about that. I think she's got other things in the
rise. She's set up pretty good now.
So yeah. If you go next year, there's going to have to be another John Cena Elias segment, right?
Yeah, there has to be because there was one this year, which actually was great. It was probably one of the best segments. I actually liked it. I definitely liked it better than last year, except for the fact that Taker came out. But last year, but I did like the Thuganomics coming back out.
Absolutely,
that was the second best segment of the entire show.
What was the first best segment?
Kofi winning the title.
Oh, okay. So
it seems like one of us sat here and predicted weeks ago, that Kofi was going to steal the show at WrestleMania.
I don't remember that, but I remember you saying Drew McIntyre was going to win the title, and he just fought Roman Reigns.
No. Don't try to change the subject because you're
Ronda Rousey. She's going to main event WrestleMania, and everybody's going to love her.
No, I didn't say she was going to love her. I said she's going to main event WrestleMania, and she did.
I was asleep during their match.
Let's talk about the finish of that match, by the way.
Let's look at it from your perspective.
Take us through it, ref.
Referee.
Well, first off, the referee needed to wait one more second before he counted because he counted the shoulders being up and they wasn't up. But I do think that was the finish regardless. It was going to be the finish. It was just the count was too early. And a true professional would have done, somebody that's been in the business for years, like maybe Charlotte or Becky, if they were the ones that were down in their back, they would have actually just kicked out and said, let's reset. Let's reset the finish at that moment. And of course, she's been in the business for a little over a year, whatever. I get it. So it's okay. But it's the biggest stage there is. So it does make, but it does give her a storyline to come back and say, I never lost it because my shoulders are never down. So it is kind of a way for her to protect her, I guess is the lack of a better term.
If she never comes back, that would make me happy.
Well, she's coming back.
Come on now.
She's coming back. But so on TV, because there we were a little confused. Like, what? We were like, what? It happened so fast. We were shocked that it happened.
Right.
But on TV, though, when you saw it, were you all shocked that it ended too? Where you're like, wait a minute, what just happened?
I wasn't because I've been really open about this so far. I fell asleep. So I wake up and hear, and Becky did it. WrestleMania. So I was like, okay. So she won, and I didn't find out to the last.
Whose voice is that, Michael Cole's?
I was trying to do, it was supposed to be your voice.
Oh, okay.
It couldn't be Michael Cole's because he was losing it towards the very end of the show.
Yeah. Poor guy. Yeah, no, it was an abrupt ending.
Yeah.
Even without the awkward shoulder position, whether it's down, whether it's not, it was kind of abrupt how it ended. You know, you finally got, and being there was probably really telling with this. Mm-hmm. You finally got that standoff between Ronda and Becky.
Yeah.
The crowd kind of wakes back up a little bit. It was almost like, oh, yeah, you know, this is what we want to see. And then it was just boom, boom, a couple sets, and then she rolls her over. And that was kind of surprising just right off the bat. You know, you're like, wait a minute, is she about to win? Yeah. And then the shoulder thing and everything. And I think, like you said, I think a little bit of it may have been Ronda just as far as not getting, did she do it on purpose? I don't know. Maybe she did.
In her fighting stance, then you're moving. You know, her actual way she's fighting with someone, she's down in that position because she's more of, it was more of an angle where she would, MMA would get her down and you're more moving. So she's not completely planted. So I get that that's her reaction, her natural reaction.
Yeah, because she's had so much experience in judo at such a high level that it's maybe she like subconsciously reacted to not
just a reflex.
Like,
well, her arm was wrapped in Becky's leg as well. Yeah. If you see kind of the picture. Yeah. Regardless, though,
to be that arm,
rather they meant
be
to
Seth
do
Rollins.
That. I know what
to be Seth Rollins.
Oh, hey, did they?
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, Seth and Becky are an item. Yeah, they've been
are they
for
really?
About 2 months. There was a rumor they show up at the Hall of Fame and they show up at a concert together. Yeah, they're together.
Incredible. Yeah.
We have breaking news. The men.
Okay, this is good. Yeah. So, but the one thing is, regardless of if they meant to do that or they didn't, it did give them a nice setup for Becky Ronda in Tampa. So that worked out.
Yeah,
or
for sure.
At SummerSlam, possibly.
Yeah, she's actually trying to.
What
have
is
a baby
LA, it
right
is in
now.
LA, right?
Yeah, but if she's on what she calls an impreg, I'm not sure if you know how babies work, but they do take nine months. So SummerSlam would not be a possibility.
So basically, she's waiting on the stork to drop off.
Yeah, it's going to take a little bit longer. But to be fair. It's all good.
Look at that. Look at that. All right. The birds are flying. Birds are flying. Birds are flying.
Thinks you're number one.
Birds are flying. All right, now let's talk a little, break down a couple other things. So the Kofi, that moment was pretty cool to be a part of there, but up until the very last moment, I was like, they're not going to give it to him. They're just not going to do it. They're not going to do it. And they did it.
There were absolutely points in the match where I'm sitting here like, they have swerved us all. They're not going to give him, because they didn't give him the championship. He earned it. He's not going to earn his championship victory. They're going to take it away from him. And then the next night, it went even as far as I went over to Steve's house to watch Raw, and they lead off Raw with title versus title. I was like, they're going to take it from him tonight. They're just not going to let him have it. And I was proved incorrect on that one, thankfully.
Yeah, and they're not unifying the titles. That was all these rumors going around. If they were, then Becky wouldn't be walking around with two titles. So
I thought they did good, because the one thing Daniel Bryan and Kofi did in that match was they really had an excellent match at Elimination Chamber.
They did.
That kind of was the surprise factor if Kofi would have won. I think going into Mania, there was I kind of feel like he's going to win, even though with you, part of me is like, I don't know. But I was like, I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off. They did. Yeah. They still were able to tell the story, and there were points during that match where I was like, okay, Daniel Bryan's going to win. And they'll move on, and it was a good run, and they didn't. And it was cool. That's kudos to Kofi and Daniel Bryan both.
Yeah, they told a great story.
When you got two guys like that, there's hundreds of sports entertainers. There's hundreds of wrestlers. But there's not that many guys that can tell a good story in the ring. Those two guys are two of the best at telling stories in the ring.
And what I like, too, is that you didn't see a lot of you didn't see New Day and Rowan and like get involved and knock somebody out. And you didn't see any of that. Like you expected smoke and mirrors in this match, too.
Right, they had the appropriate amount of interference.
And they did, but the interference wasn't even really that big.
Right.
It was barely any. It was more of a distraction than it was actually coming in and doing anything. So, that's what I liked, how they did it. They did it well, and you're not. Kofi overcame, and I love him having his kids out in there and doing the shirts. Like I love that they did the shirts. Like I won, like you won the championship, and that has to be a new, because New Day is just like next level when it comes to marketing, the way they do stuff. They had to think, we've never done that. They've never like championship give shirts as soon as they win. And then I love the fact that later they go back to it where what happens to the shirts that they lose, and Daniel Bryan has shirts made, and they you can't get them. Actually, you can get them on WBShop.com, right. Believe it or not. But it's funny that they even did that. Like, I guess they're going to go to Africa or whatever.
Those guys are just so ahead of their time. It's just, for God's sake, they're walking around in pancake outfits now.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I wish I could have caught one of them.
And the thing about it is you already know who's Kofi's next person is going to be, who he's going to be defending the title against, because they kind of set that up this week, and we'll talk about that in a little bit when we talk about the shakeup. But, it was just it was great how they've – what they did with him. And I was – like I said, I was shocked, happy, but shocked that they actually put the title on him. So, like, everybody that you wanted to have the title, and then the people that needed to lose lost.
Yeah.
I mean, you gave it back to Finn. You put Finn back on the Intercontinental title. You kept the title on Samoa Joe, the U.S. title, and then when it comes to the women's tag team, you perfectly you allowed Becky and or not Becky but Sasha and Bayley to lose. And the perfect team to lose to was the Iconics, because you have to have heat. It's perfect.
That caused a whole other storm. I guess we can go into that a little bit later, too. But really, for me, if you told me you have to pick a part of the night and say why you hated it, I didn't like that Seth was able to just dominate Brock like that. Mm-hmm. To me, we've saw Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, all these big guys go up against them, get close but couldn't quite get it. Well, even Seth, It's right, but Seth's just able to come in and curb stomp him three times and pin him.
To be fair, Brock just whipped his ass before the bell.
Brock. They did the match perfectly.
I mean, as far as, I didn't like it. I'm just saying, I didn't like it.
That's the only way they probably could have set that up.
They had to set it up where it caught him Seth off guard. Then Seth has to overcome the comeback. Has to overcome being just demolished all the outside of the ring.
Brock beat the piss out of him, and then he's able to come in and do two or three moves and beat him.
Caught him off guard.
I know. I understand English.
Yeah, so that's the whole point. Like, that's the story.
The point is, I didn't like it. It was too short. If Joe couldn't beat him, if Braun couldn't beat him,
but Seth Rollins
shouldn't have been able to beat him that quick.
The man dating the man. Seth Rollins is the.
Also, he was kind of like you before you started. Never mind.
Whatever.
If we're airing grievances, I would have changed. I would have kept everything that happened just like it did, except I would have flip-flopped Corbin and McIntyre. I would have liked to seen McIntyre beat Angle if Angle's going to lose, yep, and maybe then have Roman beat Corbin.
Everyone in that crowd thought that John Cena was going to come out. It was going to be a quick match.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle was going to win, and then Corbin's whatever, and then all of a sudden he says, "This is my last match, blah, blah, blah," does his little speech, and then John Cena comes out to congratulate him, tells him, you know, blah, 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 but that wasn't your final match, and then they have a match.
Yeah.
And that was going to – but Cena would obviously get the booze because they want Kurt Angle to win, and he would – but I'm still blown away by his last match being Baron Corbin. Why?
I would have just removed – I'll take Steve's suggestion one further. I would have flip-flopped him, and then I would have future-endeavored Corbin.
Man, just making no bare bones about it.
Corbin apparently is Vince loves Corbin. That's all I'm going to say, man. Vince loves Corbin, and he's giving him sky's the limit because there's no reason why that guy should be in the spot he's in. But he must kiss butt behind. I don't know. He must work hard behind the scenes. I mean, that's fine.
Apparently, him and Triple H are boys.
Well,
so that probably helps.
That helps too. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. Politics are politics, man. If you can, Triple H did it for many years. He worked the politics side. That's why he was in the top of where he was when you had Steve.
Very cutthroat business, brother.
So, you know, it is what it is. But so let's any final thoughts on Mania? Well, let's rate it from a 5-star point of view, and then we'll go into after Rant Mania. Mm-hmm. So, Jeremy, we'll start with you.
I'll give it a 4.
4? All right.
I think I'm with you. Yeah. I think, I mean, there may be maybe a little bit you could have improved on, but not a lot. I mean, it was pretty good.
I'll go to a 4 as well.
Yeah. I'll say 3.5.
3.5. All right. I had a feeling he was going to go lower.
He always does.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like y'all. I'm going to be different.
Anyways, though, okay. All right. So that's a solid. Is 3.5 would be a solid Mania for you then?
Yeah. It's actually a better score than last year.
Okay. All right. Favorite match at Mania. Let's do that real quick. Favorite match at Mania. Jeremy.
Favorite match at Mania. Even though the outcome wasn't what I wanted it to be, Miz and Shane.
Okay.
That was because I already know what he's going to say, but for me, it was just the chase of it, and I wish it ended the other way, but I enjoyed the match.
Okay. Roman?
I know it's kind of going – I really enjoyed that one as well, but I kind of think the Brock Seth. I thought
I thought you were going to go Daniel Bryan and Kofi, well, so I picked that one.
No, I mean, I could have, but I just think Brock Seth, man, when Heyman starts marching out, it was almost like – I was like, well, wait a minute, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they kind of, hey, no, we're fighting right now. And you're like, well, wait a minute, okay. And I kind of liked how they did the whole show of the match in general. I enjoyed it, yeah.
I just can't pick anything else but Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston. Solid storytelling, solid layout, excellent, excellent moment at the very end of that match.
Okay. Being there, I think that the atmosphere and the excitement of the Kofi Daniel match definitely was awesome. But when I watched match per match, and I thought it was going to be my favorite, I thought they were going to be going to steal the show. They didn't really steal the show. But watching these two guys work was great. I have to go with AJ and Randy because after that big high of Seth winning, they were to go in there and still maintain the crowd and still do a good job. and loving those guys as much as I do. It's just I was really, really focused and really entertained with those guys. But the atmosphere of just Kofi Mania was really cool to be a part of. So
I have to ask, because there was an issue with this with AJ versus Randy. Did the lighting affect your view of the match at all?
No. So what happened with the lighting during that match was certain spots. It actually is kind of funny you brought that up. Certain spots had a glow, like a yellow light on the fans. And so the fans started to chant. I don't know if you can hear it on TV, but they started at NXT apparently.
Did you start it?
No, because our section was fine. Sections behind me, and the chant was they kept doing everything. Turn the lights off, you know, and then we can't see, and then they, you know, things like that, and then finally they turned them off, and then they went nuts, and they turned them back on, and then they turned them back off again. I think they were messing with them, but then once they did that, everybody was cheering and going nuts. So that's probably why half of the people couldn't see it, because probably literally, you know, 20,000 people couldn't see the show because of the lights.
Orton didn't seem real happy about that either on Instagram. He posted a few pictures and was kind of like, hey.
He used a couple extra moves.
I know.
Well, it's because, I mean, I get it. You're in your match and your fans are chanting something, not paying attention, but you got to realize half of those fans can't see, dude. So, like, that's on production for not testing that out.
Well, it's kind of sounded like he was upset with production. I mean, I remember he was kind of apologizing to fans. He was kind of apologizing to the fans for the choice words he used, you know, for the idiots in the back that had the lights on. Yeah, it was.
And they kept it on so long. It's like, how do you not hear everybody chanting? I mean, I get it, but maybe it didn't make it on TV. Did y'all hear something like that?
You could hear it. Yeah, okay. Definitely. And the one thing I would, and this is so nitpicky of me, like I'm could do production for WrestleMania or something.
But that's just you.
But shouldn't they? I mean, somebody have checked that? Like, but you would think everything should be, all boxes should be checked. You know, it was like that.
But it was a pretty big section, too. So it's not just a light in one little spot. I mean, it was covering, you know, thousands of people in each, and it was like 7-8 different areas. So, you know, the way they had the lights, and all they do was turn up, they flipped them up, and then I guess because they needed the light for TV, and then when you flipped them up, nobody was in the view, and I'm like, that's that simple, like that's all you have to do, and I get it, maybe they couldn't just turn it off immediately because it's TV, and they didn't want to mess with the TV look, but it still was messed with those people's view, so those fans probably don't care about that match because they couldn't see it, literally. They thought John Cena was in the ring. All right, so. all right, so now on to the aftermath of WrestleMania. We'll talk about real quick a little bit of Money Raw after Mania and then SmackDown, but more importantly, the week following, which we just left, the Superstar Shakeup. So what are your thoughts on how they've handled the after Mania stuff, the post-Mania stuff, and then we'll go into the Shakeup?
I enjoyed Monday night. I didn't really enjoy Tuesday night as much, but that's just me being picky because I like the call-ups. I like the big surprises, and there were several of those on Monday, not as many Tuesday. But the shakeup, I loved everything about it.
Okay,
so
right. Yeah, I thought Raw after Mania was kind of weak this year.
It felt like that way last year.
It almost seems like as odd as it sounds, it almost seems like the night after SummerSlam is kind of overtaken.
Yeah. Very milk toast.
Yeah, you know, and I don't really know what that means even, but I think we're on the same page. And it was
Xavier was never mind.
So I wasn't overly thrilled with those. The shakeup, though, I do feel like may have been the most even maybe the best shakeup they've done as far as keeping even talent and how they did it.
Yeah, it was JK. You.
I pretty much agree. I thought Raw and SmackDown for Manias were pretty tempered by comparison in recent years. But yeah, the shakeup, it was definitely the most volatile it has been since they did the second brand split. One thing though, I do want to bring up. I feel like they're positioning SmackDown for when they move to Fox in September. Yeah. Because why else would they move Roman Reigns and Finn Balor over there?
Yeah, and I actually was expecting them to, and we kind of talked, I was expecting a title swap, like WWE title going to Raw and then the Universal going to SmackDown.
Another thing, too, did you notice that the Intercontinental and the U.S. title are both on SmackDown?
Yeah, they are, and they usually – they flop them every year. They've flopped them every year. Now, there could be the greatest Royal Rumble could have a Samoa Joe versus someone on Raw, and it could lose it.
Here's the thing. Right before we went on air here, I read that there's going to be more trades throughout the week. So there were already a couple trades after the show last night that I wouldn't have known had I not looked on WWE.com. So they are speculating and expecting more trades to go. And actually, Joe was there Monday night. He was supposed to be switched, but he fell ill, and they didn't feel right putting him on the show. So I expect him to be the first one of these. Almost dropped.
Well, I think not doing Joe on Monday kind of helped.
Yeah.
The surprise for Finn on Tuesday, because if Joe shows up on Monday,
then you know,
I know Finn's showing up on Tuesday, so I think it kind of takes a little bit back from there.
Well, and then also looking here, I mean, like Liv Morgan was split up from the Riot Squad and went to SmackDown,
yeah,
and then. But that's
got to think maybe Sarah Morgan goes with the Viking experience.
Oh my God! Don't get me started on that.
We're not going there.
She's married to one, right?
Right. No, I agree with you wholeheartedly there. And thank God they sent future Endeavored over to SmackDown so that Bobby Roode can flourish on his own.
And supposedly, There was a thing going on with Samoa Joe, but they rewrote it or removed it.
I legitimately just told you that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention.
Thanks for paying attention to the show.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention when you talk. All right, so the shakeup overall, though, I mean, I'm okay with it. I think I do think Raw could have lost one more.
Mm-hmm.
I think
I was expecting Drew to be that one more too.
Yeah, more and more big name.
But do we think with SmackDown, and I know you brought it up a minute ago, SmackDown going to Fox in, what, October,
mm-hmm,
yeah, somewhere around, yeah, there? I almost think this was done for, by the end of the summer. I mean, they can add more to SmackDown. They can change more. I think after SummerSlam,
and they can still do a trade-off for another. Yeah. It may happen before. I mean,
right. They always do. But the last few years, they've done the shakeup around this time. And then the draft, right before?
No, they would sometimes do where they could maybe you could move a couple people, even if it wasn't called a shakeup after SummerSlam. Sometimes you have some moves.
Right,
there,
right, right.
There, yeah,
I could have sworn they had a draft last year.
No, they didn't have a draft.
They did the year before.
The only draft they've had was the very first shakeup they did, which they drafted. They haven't had a draft since then.
Okay.
It's always been a shakeup. That's you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. And I like when they mix it up a little bit and make things a little bit a little different and a little better and whatnot. And it'd be interesting to see. And I know it was funny watching my daughter getting mad over who was showing up on Raw, going, "Man, they're not going to be at SmackDown in Louisville." Like she's missing. Then she got excited when she's on SmackDown and who was coming to SmackDown. Oh, I get to see him. I get to see him.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of funny seeing that. I was a little confused by Lars showing up on both. What are you on, Raw and SmackDown?
Yeah, and from what I've read is that the initial thing was to put him on Raw, and then they decided, I guess, since Raw went off the air, that they're just going to put him on SmackDown.
Well, I think you have to separate him and Braun.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can have them two on the same show right now.
If you're trying to build the same kind of monster.
Yeah, I think it was the right call to maybe move him over if you want to keep Braun on Raw.
Yeah. When it comes to, the whole right now with Becky with two belts, it looks like she's going to, you know, have a match with Lacey Evans. I'm guessing on SmackDown, she's going to, you know, there has to be some kind of a match she's going to have there. I mean, does she double duty on the
pay-per-views? That's kind of been the question. I don't know. The question for me has been, you know, when she won them, I almost assumed it would be unified. Mm-hmm. Said, okay, all right, you know, they're going to have one women's champion. I could deal with that. And but since she's not, now the Lacey Evans thing for me, I like that. Yeah. I kind of think they could have held that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Well, here's what I saw. Shout out to Dave Hero. But here's what I saw, what he posted. And it's true and so smart. the Lacey Evans attacking Becky Lynch wouldn't have been so powerful if for 6 weeks she didn't come out every day walking around. We're like, what is she doing? What is she doing this for? What is she doing this for? If she never did that and just first time she came out and did it, it wouldn't have been so impactful. Would have made sense. So the fact that she did it now, it's like, oh, that's it. It was this build up this whole time. She's waiting for the right moment to smack Becky in the face.
Well, she's for me. She's. I'm not trying to get off on the on the women of WWE.
They appreciate that.
Yeah, but I think Lacey Evans is going to be a star.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm glad she's involved in that. Yeah. But I wanted to see that get like a really big feel, you know. Yeah. But it's good. It's good.
Do we think that with the impending move to Fox for SmackDown, do we think that the brand extension is just going to go away? Or do we think that you're just going to be at, like, you can't, we've heard, I don't know why I pointed at Steve, y'all can't see that. We've heard that
All right.
Fox wants the entire roster available for them. And that Friday nights is going to be more of a rated R show, for lack of better terms, and that Raw is going to be PG-13. That's initially why I thought that both of the titles. So you have Becky with both belts on Sunday night at the end of the night, both championships, sorry, Vince. And then on Monday night, you start off Raw teasing the unification of those titles, or not the unification, but that one man will walk out with both of those titles. Is that something you think is going to?
First of all, First of all, real quick, how in the world did Becky get Becky two belts approved? As a shirt and everything. That's crazy. Speaking of, Vince don't like that word. But anyways.
I know we talked the other day. He said he didn't like it. I'm joking. But what do you think, Steve, since you are the guest?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that you – it doesn't seem like they are going to go away from the brand extension. I don't know. I'm kind of a purist. I kind of like when everybody can just be on everything. But I understand that it also has allowed other superstars to get opportunities they may not get. But maybe SmackDown just turns into something where guys show up a little more on. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do that. It'd be interesting, though, to see. I don't think you can just keep a traditional, if what you're saying is true, if Fox is wanting more, more people risque. On there, yeah, and more risque as far as that goes. But, I mean, I don't think you can just keep a normal brand extension going. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that starting, though. I do know that.
Yeah, it definitely is going to be different. And they're moving it to Friday, right?
Yeah.
I think it's going to hurt them a little bit, but who knows if they put them on, if they literally put them on. I know the future is for Raw to join too. They're trying to get Raw in the future as well. If that's the case, Raw would be on Fox, and then SmackDown would be on Fox Sports 1. But is the are they have they decided if it's Fox Sports 1 or are they going to be on Fox? Period.
The rumor that I heard was Fox.
Well, they're putting another show on Fox Sports 1. That's going to be like almost like a wrestling sports center, something along. If they get Fox, I mean, I agree with Daniel. I think Friday nights is a little.
He's got to be on Fox.
Because if you're on Fox, the amount of houses you will be in will be so much greater than it will make up for the fact.
And then SmackDown will then be the flagship show if that's the case. If it's on Fox, and then you might see people jump ship, or you might see some kind of somebody take over SmackDown and start signing contracts and doing this whole rivalry thing again, really doing the brand split right. And at the time, AEW will have their deal, their TV deal. They'll just do All In 2 after Double or Nothing. It'll do All In 2, and they'll launch their show. And so it'll be – and they're going to go on Thursdays, I think.
That'd be awesome.
Friday nights, I'm assuming Impact is going to move from Friday maybe at that point now, since they don't want to compete, and that would be smart of them to maybe go to Tuesday. And then you're dealing with, wrestling every night.
Yeah, I thought I saw that the AEW was going to be on Tuesday nights.
Oh, then Impact go to Thursday. Whatever, as long as Impact has their own night, you don't want to compete with them yet. As much as I'm loving Impact and what they're doing, they're not ready to compete with WWE head on yet. They need to keep a separate day and keep that brand separate. Just
give us wrestling every single night. We'll be happy.
Well, you are. You're going to get Raw on Monday, AEW on Tuesday, NXT on Wednesday, I guess Impact on Thursday, SmackDown on Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday is for your big pay-per-views. Your AEW can go. I have a feeling they're going to do Saturday night pay-per-views. Sunday you got Raw paper or wrestling pay-per-view, WWE pay-per-views, and then you throw in Impact pay-per-views on Saturday and Sunday too as well. I mean, it's great. You can legit have wrestling every night of the week.
Let me throw this out here just because I hopefully I'll get back on here to talk about this as it gets closer. I'm just over the top excited about AEW.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I cannot wait for that.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be incredible.
The build-up to it has been amazing. The teaser, I don't know. I know Steve does, but if y'all been watching the Road to Double or Nothing series on YouTube?
No.
You haven't?
I have other stuff to do. No, I mean, I have legit have it. That's why.
Well, take your hands out of your pants pockets every once in a while. It's probably one of the best original wrestling shows that's been out in a long time.
Okay, I'm glad for them. Congratulations to them. They should have something.
There's tons of teasers every week. They introduce some of the unusual new talent. They run some of their skits from the Elite. It's just great.
It's not a knock. I mean, I wasn't really making fun of them. I literally don't have time. I have to squeeze it in just because with going on with OVW, Ringside, Raw and Raw, SmackDown, trying to watch Impact. It brings the show
full circle. I said I was with greatness. Did you hear that? That's incredible.
He's too busy watching Raw to do anything else.
Before we go on to talk about a little more other stuff, OVW as well as Impact, or anything else we want to talk about, let's talk about our sponsor, Collar and Elbow. That's right. When you go to collarandelbowbrand.com, you use promo code Ringside, you save 10% and you help the Ringside podcast out. All new lineup just came out during WrestleCon week. Some amazing shirts. The King of the Sport, that shirt's awesome with a lion on the front. You got the Collar and Elbow new logo with the maroon and the light blue. It pops. It's great. Not to mention a bunch of other stuff. My boyfriend can't wrestle. For all you ladies out there that have a boyfriend that's in the business, that would be perfect for you to wear. So go to collarandelbowbrand.com. Use promo code Ringside. You save 10%. And once again, you help the Ringside podcast out, and we appreciate that. So guys, so what's OVW and Impact? Okay, let's talk a little bit about OVW Television, by the way. And I know I'm biased because I'm there, but it legit.
Are you on it, Daniel?
Sometimes.
Are you?
It legit is on another level right now. I mean, it's gone from, I don't know, 0.1 to 7, 8.
What's changed lately to make it get better? I feel like there's a new referee.
No, it's 1,000%.
Don't do this.
It's 1,000% been the change in ownership, and has nothing to do with the fact they got desperate and hired a guy off the street.
I wouldn't say it's a change in ownership as much. Yes, it is. Don't get me wrong. But I also think it's the production team that they're bringing in, the writing staff, and what they're doing with the social media and all that, too. It's not just the owner.
Yeah, but that's because of the ownership.
Al Snow would say that, too. It's not just Al.
No offense to Danny, but in any kind of entertainment, it's going to get really good, then get bad, then good. I mean, there's ups and downs in any. I mean, I listened to Steve's show on ESPN 93.9, The Ville,
which is incredible,
from 10 to 12.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's weeks when it sucks, but then there's months where it's awesome. So I'm joking.
Thank you.
It's always phenomenal.
Thank you.
But in any form of entertainment like that, there are ups and downs. So for anybody to expect, you know, Danny Davis to stay at a 10.0 the whole time, they'd be ridiculous. But especially, he got hit hard two or three times. I know you've watched OVW for a long time. You have too. I don't know if you were even alive when it really started to get hot. But, sorry, I just had to throw a jab at him. But some of the best times OVW had were followed by bad times because of all the – there were mass call-ups.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to happen. So no offense to Danny Davis. Great dude. I always had great interactions with him. He was always really good to me. But Al Snow taking this over and taking it to a new level has almost made OVW brand new. It's not even the same OVW it was.
He bought it last year, WrestleCon. That was when it was announced. The deal was finalized. So within a year, he has took that place and turned it, made it relevant again. Made eyes look at it. He's brought in the first ever trade school. He's going to have the first ever combine. But that's just what he's done overall, but let alone in the production side of it, he's brought in good people to actually take the production to another level. And there's still more and more to come, which is so amazing to think where it's going to be with this network and everything else. A year from now, we're going to be like, 2 years ago, what Al's right. done. You know what I'm saying?
So let's not forget the joint Impact OVW pay-per-view. That was huge.
It was a huge pay-per-view, absolutely.
That's something nobody else could have pulled off but Al Snow.
Yeah, and it's been great. And Impact, you know, what I like of Impact has stepped up their game too in their production and their storytelling and all that. You know, and I love what's going on right now with Impact, and I think it's just going to get better and better as well. I mean, I know Jeremy, you follow a little bit. JK, do you follow Impact a little bit?
Yeah,
a little bit. Okay,
yeah, enough. Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think about this whole Brian Cage, Morrison, or excuse me, Brian Cage, Johnny Impact?
He's got so many daggone last names. Well, you can't blame me for screwing.
Johnny, I mean, you heard him in the opening of this show. He said, you know, last Johnny insert gimmick name. You know, so, but yeah. So, what do you think about this whole storyline angle with them right now?
I love it. It's classic best friend. It's classic mega powers.
Okay.
Like two best friends team up, one stabs the other in the back, and one just happens to be a genetic freak this time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love it.
Cage and Impact, they've always had such a great rivalry dating back to their days in Lucha Underground.
I mean, yeah,
it's true.
Anytime those two get in a ring together, it's always
a Wait a minute. Johnny Impact was in Lucha Underground?
First of all, Jeremy.
It's Jeremy Slapnuts.
First of all, screw you.
No, thank you.
And secondly, it's
that's what
Johnny,
you're doing wrong, by the way.
It's I'm Johnny Nitro Morrison Mundo Impact.
There you go. I knew Johnny Mundo was in there, but
yeah, Johnny Mundo, Johnny, insert gimmick name.
Well, I think Johnny's one of the most underrated wrestlers in all.
Yes, he is.
I mean, across the board,
without
and
a doubt,
and not just what he does in ring. Just, I mean, everything. The production value of him in general. I mean, everything about him. So anything he's involved in usually is top notch. So, and this is no different.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I'm excited about this and seeing where it goes, the storyline, and especially with I love the fact that he's got Bravo added into the mix of being his personal. He was a, you know, the referee and personal assistant and manager. It's
like his own great. Dave Hebner or Earl Hebner. I mean.
Yeah, yeah. For the or little Nate or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So it's pretty cool, and I love what they're doing, and I'm excited to see more and more stuff with Impact, and it's awesome. The partnership with OVW, and like I said, more and more big things to come from them, and also not to mention, I mean, with it's kind of connected, but OVE with the Rockstar promotion, all the stuff they're going to do with OVW, and that's exciting as well. You'll see them more and more of those guys, and you might just hear those guys on ringside as well in the future. So
it really is going to be mutually this. Has been and will be mutually beneficial to both parties. You know, normally when you come to an agreement, it's going to benefit you way more than me or him way more. This is like, this is 50-50. OVW is going to provide them with the future stars, and they're going to give OVW awesome exposure.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I mean, it's best time to be a wrestling fan. You've got WWE at a good level. You got Impact moving up on a good level. You got Ohio Valley Wrestling, OVW, going up to the next level. Then you got AEW get ready to launch and branch and start their thing. Not to mention Lucha. They still have another season they've announced or what?
No. I was talking with their former heavyweight champ. He actually lost the championship on Ultimate Lucha, which, what was it, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever, Ultimate Lucha 22, whatever the last program was, they shot Marty the Moth, who competed on Tough Enough. We were talking the other day, and he said, "There, it's in depth right now, we don't know.
Gotcha.
We're not going to, but we're not going to. We don't know.
Mm.
So.
All right, well, guys, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for everyone for listening. You can find us all on the Podcast Avenues, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio app, or just go to ringsidepodcast.com. We got another big announcement coming up later. You'll see Ringside exclusively on in the Canada area. So all you Canadians, you're going to be hearing about that soon. Hey, and then
we
well, that's
what about Xavier asking.
Yeah, it was what funny. I was like, yeah, but he might have did it on purpose so the people on TV though.
I don't know.
And then so that was great. And then also, but you can get us all on the social media, the Twitter, the Instagram, and Facebook at Ringside Podcast. And individual on Twitter, I'm at Daniel Spencer.
I'm at Jeremy _ CSZ.
At Krugermania.
And Rummage, where can we get you at on Twitter?
I'm at Steven Rummage.
At Steven Rummage. So go follow and...
Plain and simple. Did you just tell me that, no, it wasn't in Canada, it was in Montreal? No, Montreal is in Canada.
No, 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 I didn't say that. I said that's okay. Montreal. As in, Montreal speaks French.
French-Canadian, yes.
Toronto doesn't.
Right.
All right, so thanks for listening, guys, and as always, in the meantime, but between time...
Until next time, you can catch us ringside.
See ya.
Rhyme of strength. Ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain. And you can be next. You better give respect.